Live from Liverpool, we don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, hello, hello. It's that time of the week again. Yes, indeed. It's Wonderful Wednesday, or as I like to call it, Wonderful Wednesday. And it's time that we don't need to talk about ghosts. As always, need to let you know that this isn't the main episode. The main episodes are on a weekend, just in case there's any new listeners. And on the weekend episode, we talk about ghosts. That's why the show is called We Need to Talk About Ghosts. These are little extra ones to help us all get through lockdown. Well, we don't need to talk about ghosts. We can talk about anything, just so that we can do something with our time. And hopefully you can hear some familiar voices to help get you through these times. I'm with Becca.
Hello.
And how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I see you've been eating some grapes.
I have.
Did you like them?
Yes.
Do you like green grapes, red grapes, or black grapes?
I like green grapes.
How about red grapes?
I think I'd be alright with them, but I wouldn't go for them.
Seedless grapes or seeded grapes?
Always seedless.
Who goes for seeded grapes?
I don't know.
Why would you even make them?
Why would you even do that?
I suppose you'd make them because you want to grow more grapes.
Yes.
Yes, and that's enough grape talk for now. So this is going to be what we in the business like to call a jump-off episode. So therefore, the content in this episode...
Are you going to start jumping?
Yes. Boing, boing, boing. Now, the content in this episode will be stuff that, if you want to look into it further, then you can. It's known as a jump-off point.
I'm sure you could say that about anything.
Well, you could.
Like grapes. People could start looking into grapes more if they wanted to, couldn't they?
How did you say grapes first?
Grapes.
You said gripes.
I didn't say grapes. I said
grapes. You either said gripes, as in like, I have a gripe.
I said grapes.
Or like an Australian saying grapes.
Well, maybe the latter, but I definitely said grapes.
Say gripe.
Gripe.
Say, give me a gripe.
Give me a gripe.
You sound Australian. But you want a gripe, really, don't you? Like, you want a gripe. I have a gripe with you.
You know I can't do that roll under the arse.
Ra ra ra.
Ra ra ra.
Oh, you can't, can you?
Can't
oh, bless your cotton socks. So, it's a superstitious... It's the Penguin Guide to the Superstitions of Britain and Ireland. We've been with this book before. It's been a good conversation. We're going to do it again. So, you know how this works, Becca. Tell me when to stop as I flick through the book.
Stop.
I move up and down the page with my finger. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, now, I'm going to have to move back for one. Dead man's hand.
Oh.
A widespread belief that a certain cure for wens... What's a wen?
Is it spelt W-E-N?
Yeah.
I still don't know.
Okay. Well, thanks for asking for the spelling. Goitre, scrofula, tumours...
What are you even doing?
They're words, apparently.
Are you sure?
Yes. And other swellings or skin complaints was to stroke the affected place with a corpse's hand.
Ugh.
In most cases, the hand of an executed criminal or a suicide victim was preferred.
Bloody hell.
Yeah?
You've got to be so careful with medicine in the past because they just made it worse all the time, didn't they? Like,
yeah.
The amount of diseases you can get from dead bodies, it's just not a good
exactly,
idea to
yeah.
start rubbing
and like leeches.
Yeah.
As well as.
I
remember being in the pub with my dad, right, when I was about maybe 16.
Mm.
And he was with his mates. Now, my dad's 70.
Yeah.
And his mates are of a similar age. And two of them were with my dad. So there's three of them men and me. And they were talking about, like, hurting your hand or something. And my dad's mate went, oh, you know, when I was a lad, if you cut yourself, you just get your mum would just tell you to let the dog lick it. Seriously. Mm. And even my dad's mate went, shut up, will you? His name was Sammy, the fella who said it. My dad's mate, Chris, went, shut up, Sammy. We still had plasters in, like, the 40s and 50s, you know. There were still plasters. He went, no, my mum just said, let the dog lick it. And, there's antibacteria in the tongue.
Oh.
Like, there's not.
You know, that's where the phrase hair of the dog comes from. You know, we say hair of the dog for when you're hungover
oh, yeah.
and you have a drink. Apparently, people used to believe that if you were bit by a dog, rubbing the hair of the dog that bit you onto it would...
Oh, really?
Would help cure it. So that's where the phrase hair of the dog comes from. Obviously, a similar thing, using the same kind of poison to fix yourself, as that made you ill.
Well, I'm going to see if there's a further etymology that we can dig into there. I'm going to guess that that phrase came about because people wanted to kill the dog that bit it.
What? No, it didn't. You just rubbed the hair of it on. So you just, like, grab its paw or
something. Like, if the dog bites you, you don't go past your paw.
You get
a knife.
You do if you want it cured. You don't get a knife. What?
Well,
finish that.
Okay.
What do you mean you get a knife?
And you kill the dog.
Kevin!
I'm not being funny. Like, if a dog
bites you, that's ridiculous. But I was just like,
what are you meant to do?
Well, the cat's bit me. If you go anywhere near that cat with a knife.
Well, we haven't got a cat. You know what I mean?
I mean, a cat in the past has bit me.
Historic cat.
Yeah, if you ever go near anywhere near any cat with a knife, I'd be coming at you with a knife.
Right, okay. But no, but I mean, it depends on the bite. Like, if a dog just nipped me, I'd go, hey, bellend. Like that.
Yeah.
If, like, I remember when we were kids, this lad was stroking a dog. I was with him. Dog took a big chunk out of his neck.
Ooh.
Like, an ambulance was called. And that dog was put down, and rightly so, because it felt like it was all right to take chunks out of kids' necks.
But what was the kid doing?
Literally, he was stroking him, and he put his head under the dog's neck. You know, like, as in, like...
Like hugging it?
Like the back of, yeah, like the back of his neck was under the dog's chin, and he was like, who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? And the dog just went, and ragged him, and took a chunk out.
Oh,
he hit the deck, started slobbering at the mouth, because... It hit some sort of weird nerve.
Ooh.
And the dog was like, ah, blood all on its jaw. I ran quicker than shit off a shovel. Honestly, it was so quick how I ran. The quickest I've ever ran.
Did you run to get help or just run away?
Oh, I just ran away. Yeah.
You're such a bad person.
And then it was only when I got home and explained what had happened that my parents said, we should call an ambulance, you divvy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but I'm okay. And that's the main thing. I survived. We wasn't friends for very long. But yeah, so in a nutshell, it depends on the severity of the bite, whether I'd kill a dog.
I can think we can both safely say that for all this bravado, you would never just take a knife to a dog. Not because like, oh, you'd never take a knife to a dog, but because you'd have no idea what you were doing.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd threaten it and then it just, you'd never.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Okay, I'm gonna rotate the book again. Rotate? I'm going to flip through the book again. You tell me.
No, rotate it. Read it upside down.
Okay, I'll try, but I'll need to find somewhere to read first. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Oh, this is good. Old women's sayings.
Interesting.
It says, a song published on Broadside by a number of 19th century printers. The wording on each sheet is almost identical. And then it's a poem. If there's two knives, you are sure to have a fight. Oh, hold on.
I mean... Isn't a poem just a song that's not to music?
Oh, no, this is quite good. Yeah, no, it's not a poem. It says, a song published... Da, 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 broad... Anyway, it's basically a load of superstitions in one big verse. So let's read through this and we'll decide. We'll pick it apart.
Okay.
It says, draw near and give attention, for you shall hear in rhyme old women's sayings in the olden time. High and low, rich and poor, by daylight or dark... are sure for to make Mark some curious remark.
You're rubbish at this. You can't sight read, can you?
Yes, what are you on about? You can't sight read.
Well, you've already made two mistakes.
Well, I'm hiding from you, then you never know. So here it goes. Here are the superstitions. It says, these are odds and ends and superstitious ways, the signs and tokens of my grandmother's days. The first thing you will see at the house of rich or poor, to keep the witches out, a horseshoe over the door.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Auntie Maureen's got a horseshoe over her door?
Has she? Yeah. To keep the witches out?
Yeah, or in. When you mess with Maureen. Bellows on the table cause a row by day or night.
Bellows?
Bellows.
What's a bellow?
A bellow?
What's a bellow?
Marty Bellow, who used to sing for Wet Wet Wet. No, bellows is like what you blow a fire with. You nice. Like the big blowy things.
Okay.
Bellows. I mean, the bellows?
So bellows on the table cause what? Trouble?
A row by day or night. If there's two knives across, you are sure to have a fight.
Oh.
There's a stranger in the grate, or if the cat should sneeze, or lay before the fire, it will rain or freeze.
Well, that you can tell these live in England, can't you? Because the cat laying before the fire is obviously pretty common.
Yeah.
And it just always rains.
A cinder with a hole in the middle is a purse. So that means if you see a cinder block, not a cinder block, if you see a cinder from the fire, it's got a hole in the middle.
Yeah.
You're coming into money.
Yeah.
But a long one from the fire is a coffin, which is worse.
Well, thanks for that clarification on that's worse.
A spider ticking in the wall is the death watch at night. A spark in the candle is a letter as sure as life. If your right eye itches, you'll cry till out of breath. A winding sheet in the candle is a sure sign of death. Ooh.
There's a lot of signs of death, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, there's only signs of death and signs of life, I suppose. If your left eye itches, You will laugh outright, but the left or right is very good at night. Well, if your elbow itch a strange bedfellow found, if the bottom of your foot itch, you'll tread on fresh ground. If your knee itch, you'll kneel in a church, that's a good un. If your belly itch, you'll get a lot of pudding. Wow. If your back should itch, I do declare, butter will be cheap when the grass grows there. Well,
that's just getting ridiculous now.
Yeah. If the dog howl at night or mournfully cry, or if the cock should crow, there's somebody will die again.
Well, the cock crows every day, doesn't it?
Yeah, apparently. No, I mean at night. I think it means at night.
Right.
If you stumble upstairs, indeed I'm no railer. You'll be married to a snob or else to a tailor. I fell up the stairs once.
Did you?
And you want to marry me. And you're a snob.
Or a tailor.
A speck on your fingernail is a gift that's funny. If your hand itch in the middle, you will get some money. Ooh. Spilling of the salt is anger outright. If you see... you will see a ghost if the doors should rattle in the night. That's not true.
No.
I mean, quite apt for a ghost podcast. If your sweetheart dreams of bacon and eggs, she'll have a little boy that has got three legs.
What?
That's just a rhyme. This isn't real things. The cat washing her face, the wind will blow. If the cat licks her foot, it is sure to snow.
See, again, cats do that all the time. Cats are forever washing themselves.
Yeah, and it forever snows somewhere. Put your gown or your jacket on inside out and you'll change your look. I've heard that one. Have you heard that? If you're having bad luck, you're meant to wear your jacket inside out for a day.
Oh, no, I
haven't heard that. Yeah. And be put to the root. If your nose itches, you'll get vexed till you jump. If your great toe itch, you'll get a kick in the rump.
I'm sick of going around about itching.
I know. If a girl snaps one finger, she'll have a child, it seems. If she snaps two, she's sure to have twins. And if she snaps 8, 9, 10, or 11, it's a chance she don't have 27.
What?
God knows. So underneath the clothes... if you lay with your head underneath the bedclothes, you'll have an ugly old man what has got no nose. If you see a star shoot, you'll get what you wish. If a hair gets in your mouth, you'll get as drunk as a fish. This is just like a bad rap. If your little toe itch, you'll be last in a wave. If you shiver, there's somebody going over your grave. If you go under a ladder, you'll have bad luck and fall. And some say bad luck is better than none at all. So please, outright, I have told you in rhyme, the great superstition of the olden time.
I do not think bad luck is better than...
I don't think
zero.
Bad, no. I completely agree with you there.
I mean, also, that one about giving birth to a son with three legs, how often did that happen?
It just didn't. It was the fact you needed something to rhyme with eggs. That's all. That's as simple. That's as far as that one went. Right, go on, let's have another one. Tell me when to stop. Tell me when to stop. Okay. Easter. Says, in addition to the widespread Easter traditions of the sun dancing and the need to wear new clothes. Oh, I didn't know that. A few other stray beliefs can...
People, do you get new clothes at Easter?
Yeah, we used to get Easter clothes.
Did you? I was going to say I didn't, but you did, yeah.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Seriously.
Well, then why did you express surprise at that?
No, I was in like, I didn't know it was a common thing, is what I meant.
Why? Do you know why?
I just thought, again, it was like a Catholic thing. It was like, you get your Easter clothes.
Yeah, I know, but why? Like, what's the link to Catholicism?
I don't know.
It's like new life.
I don't mean like there's an actual link that I can tangibly tell you. I mean, because we were Catholics, it was like tradition. You'd get your eggs, you'd get your Easter clothes, you'd go to church.
I know, but I'm asking why. Like, eggs represent new life, don't they? So that's why you get Easter eggs. Because it's...
New clothes, probably same horse, isn't it?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Same horse, different jockey. Right then. The Easter ones, so it says, in former times, people had such respect for this day that many kept their children unbaptised till Easter Sunday. And many old men and old women went to church to receive communion who were hardly to be seen in the Lord's house on any other Sunday during the year. Well, that's like every Easter, churches are packed. Unless you have duck for dinner on Easter Day, you'll never pay your debts. Oh, there's another one. If anyone looks into St. Austin's well the first thing on Easter morning, he will see the faces of those who will die within the year.
Oh, goodness.
That's scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know what would be the scariest bit? Because if you're looking down a well, you just see your own reflection, wouldn't you? So you'd just be yourself looking back.
That's a good point, yeah. It says also see porch watching. So let's go to porch watching, because I'm intrigued now. Because if there's something that we can do where we can see who's going to die, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Pigeons, death omens. Could they just death omens? Everything's a death omen in this book. Pins, no. Porch watching. Here we go. I don't know what porch watching is, but we're all about to find out. Watching in the church porch was a superstitious custom which was widely known and talked about, if not actually often practiced. St. Mark's Eve, the watching in the church porch, it was, and some places it still is, believed that anyone watching for 1 hour before and 1 hour after midnight in the church porch would learn who in the parish would die in the coming year. As the clock struck the hour of midnight, a procession would go past the church. Infants unable to walk would roll in. Bloody hell. Those who were to be very sick but recover would come out again, after a stay corresponding to the duration of their illness. But those who were to die would not appear again. Those who were to be married during the same period also put in an appearance. They would walk in couples and speedily reappear. If the watcher falls asleep, he will die himself during the year.
Yeah.
That's interesting. This book's amazing, actually, and I need to read this. Right then, tell me when again.
Stop.
I just carry on, thanks for being on that one. Okay, and tell me when to stop again.
Stop.
Okay, see the one I'm going to read. Crossed eyes.
Why are you looking at me like that?
You're slightly cross-eyed.
I am.
Remember when you convinced me I was cross-eyed?
Yeah, that was really funny.
And you know, because you can't...
I absolutely hadn't convinced he was cross-eyed and he'd never known. It was the funniest
thing. Honestly, because you can't... You look in the mirror now and try and tell... If you have the slightest belief that you may be cross-eyed... I mean, unless you are. But like, you know, if you think I'm not cross-eyed, look in the mirror now and you can convince yourself you are, because you can't focus on both eyes at once.
It's so funny.
And when you focus on one, really the other one looks a bit tired. I was so...
It was amazing how easy it was to persuade you that you were cross-eyed and you'd never known.
Because of look in the mirror and I challenge everyone listening to this. Go to a mirror now and tell yourself, go with the mindset that you're cross-eyed and look at your reflection. And because you can only look in one eye at a time, within 3 minutes you'll think there's a bit of a turn in your eye.
Brilliant. She got so upset over it. It was really hilarious.
I did, because I thought, have I just not known that people have been polite all this time?
That's exactly what I said. It happened, yeah. Hot. I was like, I can't believe you didn't... Surely you knew. Surely... No, come on. You must have known. Someone must have mentioned it.
That was a horrible
laugh. How long did I keep it up for? I can't remember.
A day. I think a full day. And then and then when you said you were only joking, I thought you weren't. You were just really...
Oh, yeah. That was the best bit. I finally revealed it and you were like, I was just,
still didn't believe.
Just being nice because you were so upset.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still not 100% convinced I'm not cross-eyed.
I'm a genius.
One of the most jarring things that's ever happened to you.
That was excellent.
So, of the many people and animals which was unlucky to meet first thing in the morning, or when starting a person, was a person with cross-eyed. Cross-eyed was widely regarded as one of the worst, and the bad luck was intensified if it was a cross-eyed woman.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
Yeah. There you go. So then there's a list of, like, alleged ones from different areas in England. And it said, one says, I had it from my father that to meet a squinting woman was reckoned of bad omen in Yorkshire. And if you met one when starting for any particular undertaking, and it was Friday, you might as well give up. As it would be sure not to succeed. The spell might be broken by spitting back over the left shoulder.
But not be spitting at her.
No. I wouldn't think so. It says, miners and fishermen were particularly susceptible to such worries. It says, omens, known as warnings, a collier would not descend into the pit if he was on his way to work and he encountered a cross-eyed woman or a one-legged man.
That's horrible. The poor woman.
Says, women that have double apples in their eyes or strails do everywhere hurt with their looking. I don't know what that means.
It means anything they look at.
It is lucky for a man to meet a squinting woman, unlucky to meet a squinting man, and vice versa for the other sex.
Which is it? Because just said if a minor saw a woman.
That was from Yorkshire.
They need to get the story straight.
This was from London, apparently. So there you go. I mean, I know there are people out there, like one of my best mates is cross-eyed. It's not anymore. In fact, I don't know. I'll have to see.
How would you sit with your cross-eyed?
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. Maybe. So, tell me anyway. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. Tell me when... Oh, we're on cats.
Woo!
I think we touched cats last time, didn't we?
Yeah, but it was so good. You should carry on.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay. Oh, cats having a cold.
Oh.
I think we did say this one, but we'll try it again. It is firmly believed that if the cat coughs in the house, every member of the family will in turn take the cough. Consequently, as soon as the feline pet begins to give indications of cold, she must be removed from her snug position by the fire. Yes, we did do this. Because it says, and given to the tender mercies of the outside world.
Oh, let me see what else we've got on the cats.
We've done all cats.
We didn't do all cats.
Because you love cats.
Did we didn't do
love
all cats.
Love cats. Love cats.
Well, what about cats born in May? Because it's now May, so it's topical.
Huzzah!
So if anyone's got any kittens, this is what people think of them. A widespread belief holds that cats born in May are unlucky, sickly, of little use as mouses, and prone to catching other creatures.
We have done this before.
We haven't done May.
Yeah, no, we have. And I'll tell you why. Because that phrase, of little use as mouses, I said, well, they're not meant to be mouse. They're meant to be cats. And you went, no, mouse is the cat. I mean, the cat's mice. So, sorry.
Well, this says May is an unlucky month in other contexts as well.
Well, move on, because we can't do cats. We've done cats. Done, cats.
Sure.
We've done cats. Read it at your own leisure, not when I'm recording.
All right, what about caterpillars?
Okay.
Lucky. Considering the general view of the caterpillar as poisonous and as evil portent, it is surprising to find three reports which describe it as lucky, at least if you treat it correctly. This says, if you throw a black hairy caterpillar over your shoulder, you have good luck. Well, it's not much luck for the caterpillar, is it?
Well, unless it metamorphoses on the way down.
But they were also feared. So this one says, caterpillars feared. Caterpillars were widely distrusted, and children in particular thought them poisonous. When visiting at a farmhouse in the neighbourhood of Box during last summer, whilst walking in the field, I picked up a very pretty hairy caterpillar, in brackets, woolly bear. A little boy, who was with me at the time, cried out to me at once, drop it, or it will kill you, and ran off in considerable fear.
Over?
Yeah. Some species of caterpillar were held in dread. If touched, and no one ever touched to find out, the fairy one known as the Devil's Ring was reputed to coil itself around the toucher's finger and could only be removed by witchcraft. Well, they'd only have actually tried that one once to know it was rubbish, wouldn't they?
No, but it's interesting. I mean, I think we were brought up believing that, like, hairy caterpillars were poisonous.
Well, okay, I mean, I wouldn't eat them.
I mean, that's it. I wouldn't say there was distrust where they say they're not to be distrust, they're not to be trusted.
This is dreadful. The Irish always spit three times on the caterpillar when they see it creeping in order that it may not come that night to the house and sleep in the same bed with the person who has seen it.
Fair enough.
And this last one, 1606, quote, how now, fool, how now, caterpillar? It's a sign of death when such vermin creep hedges so early in the morning.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everything's a sign of death, isn't it? Death. You've got 2 feet, sign of death. You have a dog, sign of death. I see you're eating a pot noodle, sign of death.
I know.
Okay, you find another one. You scan through it, do it properly, don't just pick one you want.
But they're the best ones. Okay, go in.
Stop. Oh, love divination. Nuts. Love divination nuts. Do that.
No, I'm doing love divination onions because that sounds so much better than nuts. Okay. A love divination procedure which involves pins, onion and pillows. It says, girls used to have a method of divination with a St. Thomas's onion for the purpose of ascertaining their future partners. They peeled the onion, wrapped it up in a clean handkerchief and then placing it under their heads said the following lines. Good St. Thomas, do me right and let my true love come tonight. That I may see him in the face and him in my kind arms embrace, which was considered infallible for procuring a dream of the beloved one.
Interesting. But you know, and who was that saint they're praying to?
St. Thomas.
See, why? It's so interesting because, do you know, like voodoo? The voodoo that you do so well. You know voodoo?
Yes.
That is a mix of Christianity and, like, Roman Catholicism and witchcraft.
Right.
And they pray to saints instead of the lower. Love divination nuts.
A simple form of love divination, carried out mainly at Halloween, but sometimes on St. Mark's Eve. At Halloween, chestnuts are roasted. Two are placed before a hot fire and named after two young people in whom you are interested. Ooh. If the chestnuts burn steadily side by side, they will marry and live happily ever afterwards. Should either burst or jump away, the match will not come off.
Ooh.
This divination was well known all over the British Isles, with little variation from at least the early 18th century. Burns' poem is the most famous example. The Isle Guide's wife, Wheel Hoodnitz. I then really struggle with.
Yeah, you could, it's a Robert Burns poem. You've got no chance.
Okay.
On the other hand, I can do it.
If he loves me, pop and fly. If he hates me, let me die.
Okay, we're going to end this little extra episode by me trying to finish this Robert Burns poem. Okay?
Okay.
And this poem is by Robert Burns, and it's called Halloween from the year 1786. After this, me and Becca will be recording a little extra for Patreon. If you want to go and sign up, you can. It's patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. And we'll be back probably Friday for another extra episode. But until then, I give you Robert Burns poem, Halloween. The all good wife's wheel hoarded nets.
Oh, no, I could have done it better than that.
No, you couldn't. Are round and round divided, and moony lads and lasses' fates are there that night decided. Some kindle couthy side by side, and burn thither trimly. Some start a wow wi saucy pride, and jump out o'er a chimley.
Wow.
Wow. Say bye, Becca.
Bye-bye.
Tatty bye.